Well, good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to see you all gathered here together. It looks like you maybe need to start thinking about outreach, Brother David. Your church is about full. Maybe there's visitors here today. It's a blessing. Let's, maybe if we can, those that can, let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we bow here in your presence. Lord, we're but dust and ashes, and you're the great God of the universe, Lord. Just want to commit this time to you, commit myself to you. Father, take my mouth, and would you just accomplish your will, your purposes. I pray that nothing that I would say here this morning or play here this morning would have any negative effect. But Lord, that it could only be helpful, that you could only bless it. Lord, that it will bless this brotherhood, this church, these families, these individuals, Father. Lord, we just want to live lives that are pleasing to you. Lord, we recognize the power of music and its effects, both for positive and negative. Lord, we know that you know that. You created music. We also know that someone else knows that, too, who has our undoing in mind, who wants to steal, kill, and to destroy whatever is good and holy and of God, Father. Lord, I pray that you would guide me this morning as I seek to share on a delicate subject, Lord, that you would cause it to be to your honor and your glory and to the blessing and upbuilding of your body. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So Brother Simon has some papers that, again, you can just follow along and fill out as we go through the session this morning. And you don't have to be turned back in, but just something that maybe can help to with the focus. Excuse me. So Friday evening we spoke on the topic of worship, and what I don't want to happen is for you to take the message today and just only use this to discern your music. And I would encourage you, if you haven't, if you weren't here Friday, and you feel a need of this teaching, I would encourage you to listen to the message on Friday, because I feel like that's so important, because the whole thing of discerning music is more than just the mechanics. It's more than whether or not it's a cappella. It's more than whether or not there's just there doesn't have the certain beats. It's more than that. And Friday we spoke about God's holiness. And can your favorite album, can you see the angels who are there flying around the throne of heaven, crying, holy, 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 and they're covering their face and they're covering their feet in the presence of God. You know, will your album fit there? And if we can get just a little grasp of what it means to worship God, this whole thing of bowing low in submission, but yet with that fear and trembling, a heart of love to God. You know, if you can, as a young person, experience that in your own personal private life, in your walks alone with God in the woods, that'll be a huge help for you sorting through this whole thing of music, because that's what worship is. That's what worship is. And we need that. That's what God is looking for, that worship of spirit and in truth. We talked about how worship should be pure, sincere. It should be exalting God and not myself. And how that many, many groups out there are seeking to promote themselves, and the worship isn't that pure childlike worship, that bird-like worship. And it's tainted with self, and self and pride is what got the first musician expelled from heaven. And it's the downfall of many musicians today. Pride and self. Taking the glory to myself that belongs to the holy God of heaven. So today we want to talk about the power of music. The power of music. We want to spend the first part of the message talking about the power of good music and what potential there is there and what a rich heritage we have as a church with the thousands and thousands of songs we have. Recently, we were at a hymn singing. It was a while back, actually, and I was thinking about this whole thing of music, and I was just touched. We're there with our children and all the whole church. It was a joint church hymn singing with Poplar Hill and Gravel Switch. We're there singing, and I was touched thinking about, you know, here our children are growing up with these rich songs. Songs that worship God, and how that, you know, we don't know what the future holds, but, you know, I believe, along with the Word of God, I believe songs and hymns, if we're ever in prison cells, I believe the Word of God and the Christian hymns are two things that will above anything else, sustain us in those times. You know, have you ever been in a deep struggle, deep valley, and this song, you know, maybe a hymn that, and it just ministered to you? I've been there. How many of you have experienced that? Let me see your hands. Just, it's tremendous, the rich heritage we have with our hymns. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5. We want to talk about the power. We want to talk about the power of music. Ephesians 5, verse 18 through 20. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. So it commands us here to be filled with the Spirit. And it seems like right following that, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's so much power in music. John Dee says that music, the singing, instantly puts us on the edge of the supernatural. I don't understand it. You know the stories of the Haiti captives there and how as those evil men, those demonic men were seeking to harm those women, what they do? They sang, and there was no power there. They were protected. I heard a story from Harold Dean Miller saying when he was in Haiti, they were going down the road, and a bunch of the ladies and children were on the back of the truck, and there was a rah-rah. That's a demonic thing that goes on there. And as they were approaching this rah-rah, they were afraid because there's bad things happens there, and their wives were in the back of the truck, and the ladies began to sing. And the waters parted, and the men sought to reach up there and grab at the sisters, but there was no power there. Singing is powerful. We know the story of David there. As he came and he played for Saul, that evil spirit was tormenting him. And David played with his harp there, and the evil spirit departed. The power of music, the power of good music. God knows the power. His saints know the power. The forces of evil know the power, but the devil also knows the power of music as well. Think of this. There's many, many more we could go. We could continue on with, but we need to move on. Something else, you know, singing it inspires us. It lifts our spirits. But if you turn over to Colossians 3:16, we see something else that music does for us. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What's the next word? Teaching. And next word? Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know good hymns? Good hymns, they're full of doctrine, aren't they? I mean, a good song is that there's so much doctrine. You know, the song, Eternal Father, when to thee. I mean, it's packed with rich doctrine, isn't it? As opposed to some songs, they're just so light, so shallow. And it's, I forget who it was. It says there's not enough gospel in the song to save a, I forget what someone said, but was it a bumblebee or something? It was just, there's so little in it. But the hymns of God's people ought to be rich with teaching, admonishing, you know, a song can convict you, can't it? A song can. There was one song when I was struggling with assurance of salvation, I just almost couldn't sing the song because I just felt like it just didn't. I didn't have that in my life. You know, an altar call, an appropriate song there, it just And it admonishes us, right? And it, the words, oh, and it just goes to the heart. Songs should not just be to make us feel good. Should not just be to make us inspire us. They should be that. And, they can be a real blessing going through valleys and difficulties. But songs should also be rich in teaching and admonition. They should. It's biblical. Teaching and admonition. Yield not to temptation. You know, as you're facing temptation, young man or young lady or any one of us, and, you know, a song, it's a wonderful way to sing, and it admonishes your heart to not yield, not give in. Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. You know, songs are powerful. We're talking about the power of good music here. Songs are powerful in the way they stick to our memory. And this is true both in the negative and the positive, isn't it? I mean, there's probably some songs we would love just to get out of there once and for all, isn't there? You know, songs from the past, from our evil days, sinful days, that we'd love to just clean out and just delete from that memory, but they're there. But also, God knew this as well. And what did God tell Moses to do after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea there? What did God tell Israel to do so they wouldn't forget? Moses, I want you to write a song. And that song is not just a hallelujah, God helped us, but that song was full of, yes, it's full of that, but it's also full of admonition. It's full of warnings. It's full of what's going to happen if they forsake God. So God knows the power of song, that it sticks in the memory. I think it was over 20 years ago that we were listening, just coming to the Lord, our family was, and we were listening to some sermons from a church up here in Ohio. And I'm not sure which one it was. And I don't remember a thing that the preacher said anymore. But I remember some songs that were sung on that sermon. Some songs at the end or the beginning that were sung. I still remember them today. And they were brand new songs to me at that time. And that's the power of song. It's the power of song. Moving on here. I got these from Harold D. Miller. If you want to write them down, I'll try to give them to you. He has a sermon where I'm going to do this in probably about 5 minutes if I can, but he had a whole sermon where he went over these. He has 15 characteristics of the new song, 15 characteristics of the new song, and we'll just briefly go through this. This is part of the rich heritage of good music that we have. 15 characteristics of the new song. Let's compare these as we think about the devastation and destruction that bad music has done, the homes that it's destroyed, the young people that it's led into sin, the bondages that it brought into lives. Let's compare that with these characteristics of the new song, of the song of God's people. What does the song of God's people do for them? To God, number one, it unifies. You know, families that sing together. I appreciate that about my in-laws, Brother Reuben here. You know, there's so much time at family gatherings where we sing together. And that has a unifying, a drawing effect. Families that sing together, there's something good that happens there. Memories are lodged in the children's minds of sweet times of singing together. The same's true here with and the brotherhood as well. As we sing together, we really enjoy our hymn singings back home. The churches get together once a month in the evening. We sing together. It's just something healthy about that. There was a time during deer season where we put in long hours there. And, you know, we get up early, we work late. And there was just, you know, we get wore out. And, you know, our devotional life isn't what it ought to be during those times. But after breakfast in the morning, we started singing together. Have someone share just a few, you know, just a few minutes of the Word of God. And then sing a few songs. And it was just so refreshing there as we sang together. Just something good, something holy happened there in that upstairs loft there as we sang together before we went back to deboning deer again. It unifies. Number two, it exposes us instead of covering us up. You know, as you sit there and you sing a song, fully surrendered, Lord divine. And then the Lord touches your life in a certain area. Like, am I really surrendered here in this area? It exposes us instead of covering us up. Number three, it has the power to convict. We talked about that already. Invitation songs. Number three, it has the power to convict. Music, the Holy Spirit can use a song to convict you of a need in your life. Number four, it restores. Songs can do wonders. I can testify that. You know, burdened down, heavy, feeling just so needy. And I go out and pray, and then a song comes to my heart, and my soul is restored. Number four, it restores. Number five, it adjusts our attitude. You know, and bad music in young people's lives, it causes so much confusion, so much rebellion. But good music adjusts our attitude back to its right place. Number six, it strengthens our morals. You know, wrong songs have led thousands of people into immorality and sin. But God's songs strengthen our morals and help to keep us. You know, it actually helps us as we face temptation. We can sing a song, and it helps us to withstand it. It strengthens us instead of weakens us. Number seven, it teaches sound theology. I touched on that already. Rich theology in some of our hymns. Seven, it teaches sound theology. Number eight, it reinforces sound teaching. These are the characteristics of the new song. You know, have you ever been to message? And at the end of the message, the song leader picks a song that it's like the clinch. It clinches that song. The message. And the it just fits, and it just brings a settled resolution that this was the word of God. It's true. It's what we need. And we leave the service, and that song just settled that word into our heart. It reinforces sound teaching. Number nine, we sing to encourage each other. It encourages us as we sing together. I remember one time at a song service, I think it was a nursing home singing, I could tell Brother Leonard was just kind of feeling discouraged there. He was but as the evening went on, we were singing and ministering to people, and he said, I just feel revived after this time of singing together. It encourages us. Number 10, it produces another world consciousness. We sing songs like, I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home, and realize, you know, there's something bigger than this world, something beyond us here. It produces another world consciousness. 11, it produces another person consciousness. We think, my Jesus, I love him. It brings Jesus into our mind. Number 12, it stimulates loyalty to the body of Christ. You know, as little children in the church learn to sing together, learn to love singing, learn to love the songs of the church, it produces a loyalty. It stimulates a loyalty to the body of Christ. Number 13, it moves the hand of God. You know, Paul and Silas there in prison, as they were there, and they began to sing, and God moved. We know the story of Asa there, as he and his army went out against that huge host, and they sang, and God moved. God moved on their behalf. The stories of Haiti there, as they sang, God moved. It moves the hands of God. 14, it produces character in children. We need to plant good, old, solemn hymns in the hearts of our children. And Harold mentioned songs like, Oh God, Our Help, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Little children can actually learn to love these songs and sing them early instead of the light, giddy songs that appeal more to the flesh. Man of Sorrows. These songs develop character in our children. And 15, it brings rejoicing in heaven. When you and I sing in the storms, in the darkness, it brings rejoicing in heaven and blesses God. Did I go too fast that you missed one that you wanted to write down, if you were writing them down? I got those from Harold Dean. I just thought it just helps to... I know there's a lot of information there. What number? Okay. Number 9 was we sing to encourage each other. The last one, 15, it brings rejoicing in heaven. Sorry, I know it was very, very fast. But I just thought it was some valuable information there. Okay, let me get my speakers here paired again. I'm sorry, we had some. I'm not sure if it's a cord we have or if it's something else that's going on. But we have trouble feeding through the sound system here, so just bear with me a moment here, and we'll get some things paired together here. I have a lot of information here this morning, and I'll try not to go too fast. Just hold your hand or something if I go too fast. But we do have a ways to go this morning. I'll try not to keep us too late. So not sure how our volume is here with these. And I'll have this mic here beside it here, this mic here, that you can help to amplify through the system if you need to. I don't think it's turned on, though, is it? There we go. There we go. So I don't want to just give negative examples this morning. I've been encouraged with my session here to give positive examples. And so we're talking about the potential of good songs and what it can do. And so I'll just play some songs here that I think are wholesome, good songs that can edify God's people here. And we have, thank you, brother. I drink a lot of water when I speak. And you're just really serving me well there. I'm not sure how our volume will be here. So here's some songs that I think can do what we've been talking about here this morning. The Lord my shepherd is. It's singing scripture, you know, and you think about, what can I want? God, you'll take care of me. You know, right now, we're facing a lot of uncertainty as a family. It's exciting in a way, but we're thinking about, we're actually planning to do an outreach there in Richmond, Kentucky area, and we're needing to find properties for families, and we're right in the process of building our house. Our basement just got finished being dug out, and next week we plan to be working on the basement, and yeah, just a lot of uncertainties, you know, and I've been finding songs to minister to me during these times. Just, you know, songs of God will take care of us and meet our needs. Here's another one here that, you know, can minister to your heart as you're going through difficult times. Songs of hope.
We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith.
Another song here. You know, a song like that is going to remind you that Jesus is coming back. What really is, you know, it'll help, the song like that will help us to have our priorities right. Because, you know, this house that I'm going to be building, this property that I need to pay, you know, yeah, debts I need to pay for, all that really doesn't matter. You know, but what really matters is, are we living in preparation for the hope that we have? Amen? Here's a song here that does have some instrumentation on it, but I think it's also appropriate. And, you know, I respect wherever you draw your lines. This is one of Darlene's friends here, Aaron Cross. This is my Father's world. Yeah. Walking along. Just think about, God made all this. That though the wrong be off so strong, God is the ruler yet. You know, just God's in control. This is His world. He's my God. He's my Father. One more here that I'll play here. I thought I would. A little more instrumentation. So I think that's something that is, crown Him with many crowns.
Thank you.
So some music that I feel is appropriate and is worshipful and honoring to the Lord. But I respect where if you may draw your lines differently, I respect that. So I want to move on here, and I want to look at maybe a little bit of the mechanics of music. We're going to be transitioning a bit here, but still, this applies to godly music. I would like to look at the parts and of music and the order that I believe our music should have. And some people do three things here, and that's fine. I did four. And so, you know, in music, we spoke about Friday. We spoke about how that a singer puts something of himself into the song, doesn't he? There's, you know, there's values. What's important to the singer is put into that song. And there's something, he may have words, but there's more communicated in music than just words, right? And as we speak to each other, there's more communicated. I forget the percentages. What is it? Somebody say? Half, you know, it's less than half, I think, is your words, but actually how you say it carries more weight than what you say. You know, have you heard someone say, "I'm not angry"? Have you heard that? Well, it's obvious they are, right? You know, it's just the way they said it. It contradicts what they had to say. So in Christian music, there's a message. The message includes the words, but it's more than just the words, right? So I'm going to put message right here. There's a message. As you listen to a song, there's a message. It's the words, but it's also more than the words. There's music, just like speaking, has body language. And then number two, I'm going to put here melody. I think it's important that, I'm sorry, there's an O here, that you can sing along with it, right? That it's not just so much noise, but the melody should be distinct enough that you can sing along with it. The soprano, the lead, there's words for it, melody. You should be able to sing along. I think all these songs here, you could have sung along with it, couldn't you have? You know, whatever one you want to pick. So the melody, that's the lead, that's the what the song leader up here is singing, he's singing the melody. That should be stand out enough to sing along with it. And then number three, we have harmony. What's the harmony? That's the parts. That's your tenor, your alto, the bass. Those things should be underneath the melody. Melody should be dominant, and then there's harmony that accompanies it. It enriches it. It makes it fuller. It adds to it, and it helps with the message. The number four, we have rhythm. We need rhythm, don't we? Is rhythm all bad? No, it's not all bad. Can it be out of place? Yes, it definitely can. You know, the song leader up here, he beats the time, right? He moves his hand, and you can kind of feel it, and it helps us to be together, helps us to sing together. You know, have you ever sat in front of someone that maybe didn't quite have the rhythm down, and they were a half of a word behind, and it just, it's just hard to sing when they're always in your ear, just, and it's just, it kind of throws it off. And so rhythm helps us to stay together. It helps us to stay together. It helps us to sing our parts. And it's necessary. So what I would like for us to understand here along with this diagram this is how godly music should be. But you know, the wrong music, the music we should stay away from, they've exactly pretty much reversed this order. Rhythm's dominant, and everything else kind of falls under that. You know, a truck comes down the road and you hear the rhythm before anything else. And it's out of order. They've exactly reversed that list. We need rhythm, but rhythm needs to be held in strict control. You know, our bodies have rhythm, don't they? Right up here as I speak, my heart's beating a rhythm. My lungs are breathing a rhythm. But you know, if I was up here just panting for breath, just breathing, just out of control, and my heart was throbbing, and I was up here, you could see my body pulsing with every heartbeat. You know, you'd probably take me to the ER, wouldn't you? something's wrong with Brother Levi. Something's not right. And so rhythm should be more hidden. Rhythm should be more underneath. It shouldn't be the dominating part of the song. It's necessary. If my heart wasn't beating, I'd be in danger. I couldn't function. But yet, it's not throbbing, and you can't hear it over the sound system this morning. You know, Harold Dean says that what the world does done to music is they've made, he used this as an illustration. You want to make potatoes, right? And you use two potatoes, two cans of cream, and two boxes of salt. You know, would that be some good potatoes? No. No. And he was likening salt to rhythm. Yeah, you need some salt in there. You know, it's just not going to be right without the salt. But yet, it should not be overdone. If it's overdone, it will cease to be a good potatoes. So, let's moving on here. Where is that? I don't think I need, or do I need a, is there an eraser here? Here we go, yeah. Brother, you're just serving me, aren't you? That water there. You know why I lose your reward. So there's a teaching out there, and I think maybe one time I was almost there. There's a teaching that says, let me just play this just for a second here because my speakers will turn off if they don't. There we go. That says that music is amoral. Music is amoral. You know, it doesn't really matter how we sing. It doesn't matter what all instruments we use. It doesn't matter how we use those instruments. As long as the words are good, that's all that matters. I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, in the Bible it says that in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7 and 8 says, "And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" And so what this is implying is that sound by itself can communicate, right? The way that the general blows that trumpet means something. And every soldier knows the way he blows that trumpet means either this or it means this. It means to charge, or it means to retreat, or it means to stop. It means to surrender. You know, they can just by the way they blow that trumpet, it communicates something. Sound. So sound can communicate clearly, but sound can also give a confused or mixed up or uncertain sound, it says here. It's possible to give uncertain sound. You're like, that's the words sound good, but the way they're singing that, it gives a mixed up sound. I don't know it can be confusing. And so just to illustrate that a bit here, here's a pitch five. This will work too. So I'm going to blow a G right here. You tell me if it's a good or a bad note, okay? Is it good or bad? Huh? It's good? Yeah. Now, I believe that's amoral. You know, it's good. It's just a note. So let me ask you this. Here's a letter right here. What is that letter? S. So is that a good or a bad letter? So a sound by itself, I think, is amoral. A letter by itself is amoral. But you know, the way a musician can take a G and an A and arrange all those things, it can become good or it can become bad. And in the same way here, let's say you put another letter here. What about that? Is that good or bad? Again, so, but you know, you could write things out here. You know, I could write out here. I could arrange a number of letters there, and that begins to mean something, right? I could take similar letters here, and I can write those out. And you could actually write out whole messages here that will either bless you or concern you. And in a very similar way, music, You know, maybe just a G doesn't necessarily say much, but depending how a musician, and musicians understand those things, and we'll go more into that as well. So I use the thing, the phrase there, I'm not angry. I said it in an angry way. In the same way, I could say, I love Jesus. I could smile, I could say, I love Jesus. He's done so much for me. Or I can say, I love Jesus. Or you can say, I love Jesus. And each one of those communicates different things, doesn't it? A sensual sound, an angry sound. And so the way that musicians play and sing has a lot to do with the message that's communicated. And, you know, the world knows these things. You know, the world, I'll play you a few clips here of just some sound, and you and just think about what it, how it makes you feel. How many of you have listened to the Pilgrim's Progress? Quite a few of you have, and you know, I'm not liking this to a movie necessarily, but yet, the people that put on things like this or movies or advertisements, they know the power of music. They do, and. And sound alone says a lot. And so listen to this right here from Pilgrim's Progress. To me, when I hear this, it says something to me.
And so they went on in full sunshine.
Hear the music? Everything's good. They're safe. And just happy. It's peaceful.
Now, when they were gone over the stile, they decided to erect there a pillar of warning to save others from falling into the hands of despair.
So that was just a peaceful, restful, everything's good is what that says to us. And here's a different one here. They're going through the valley of the shadow of death. Hear the high, eerie sounds. Music says something. Is it loud enough? Not loud enough.
He would nearly tip into the mire on the left. Also here, the path was in the darkness, and more narrow than before. And so he did shuffle his feet and place them most carefully, walking all the while by faith.
So it kind of has a little bit of an edginess, you know, like, how's this going to end up? And it's just, it makes you feel uncertain and fearful just from the sound. Here's another one here.
The
giant's coming after him.
But we are weak. And we're fed.
Doom, doom,
and he is
doom.
Fat with the blood of martyrs. Twill yet be a miracle. Will your key open the claw? And why not? O Lord of the promise, open unto us the Son of Righteousness and blind the eyes of despair.
And it builds up faster. Like house. And so, yeah, it just creates a lot of uncertainty. A lot of how is this all going to end up? Another, here's a song here, and tell me whether this song makes you want to go out and just do a lot of work, or whether it just makes you go to sleep.